How do you measure the success of your employer brand efforts? Maybe you just notice more smiles on people's faces, so you feel like your work is justified. Or maybe you are on Best Places to Work lists and feel awarded for your hard work. Well, we prefer the hard numbers. The Employer Brand Index helps you calculate the return on investment of your employer brand, and in turn, validates the work you are doing to your organization. Having a great employer brand means you have to offer a great candidate experience, employee experience, and even alumni experience. When you use insights from our Employer Brand Index, you can take action and move the needle. Want to know more? Just get in touch. Go to employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, son, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency. Now, here's an interesting dilemma. How do you attract talent to an organization that everyone already thinks they know really well, thanks to Hollywood? People may or may not have the right perception of your organization as an employer. So, we'll find out more in today's episode. Let's start the show. Peter Searcy, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you today? Great.
Really good, thanks. So, tell our listeners what you do and who you work for.
I am responsible for everybody coming into the FBI, which I try not to say it like that often because I get a little panic attack sometimes when I say things like that, but on my business card, it says I'm the section chief for recruiting and staffing at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And what that means is that all new special agents, all new intel analysts, everybody new coming into the organization, including all of our summer interns, that falls on my plate. Also, all the internal promotions for all employees up to the senior level, that's on my plate as well. And then because of that, I have all the national recruiting plans, which includes our marketing strategy, everything we do with recruiting events, and then the social media that's on the recruiting side of the organization, that also falls under me.
Great. Okay. So I think our listeners, most people will be familiar with the FBI, but if you think about it as an employer, how many employees have you got? What sort of locations are we looking at? And
can you also talk through
about the popular perception people have and perhaps even Hollywood's image and versus the actual what it's like to work there?
Yeah, I think those are great questions. So the FBI has roughly 37,000 employees all around the world. Most of them, about 65% of them, are in our 56 field offices across the United States. About 33% are in our headquarters in Washington, D.C. And there's like 1 or 2% that are at our 70 overseas offices. Those are mostly co-located with American embassies overseas. I think the great thing about the FBI is we don't have to explain in general who the FBI is. Most of the American public knows who the FBI is. But I think that on the flip side, you know, we have 700 jobs at the FBI, of which the special agent is one. So I'm trying to hire not just special agents, but I'm trying to hire all 699 other positions. So as an example, I started back in 1998. As a Japanese language analyst. I had studied Japanese in college on a total whim because there was a girl in the class that I liked and it was close to the cafeteria. And I thought, oh, that'll be cool to speak Japanese. But my life went in a totally new direction. I ended up teaching English overseas for a couple of years. And then I came back, I applied to be a linguist with the Bureau. We have, for example, 1,400 full-time translators that work with us doing the investigation language-related work. And so I came in and then eventually moved into language operations, moving work around the country as, you know, people don't have Spanish linguists or they don't have Pashto linguists in their office. So we, you know, share resources. And then I eventually moved over to HR. So, you know, one of the big challenges that we have is just letting everybody know, hey, in addition to agents, we have, 3,000 intelligence analysts. We have 1,900, you know, entry-level operations support individuals, linguists, forensic accountants, press officers, you know, realty specialists. We have a gunsmith that helps repair firearms at our Quantico facility. So, you know, all of those things we have. You know, you sort of see that in the Hollywood projection. It's mostly focused on the special agents, maybe on the intelligence analysts. And those are definitely our biggest chunks of employees. but the FBI has all these amazing careers to offer. And I think that's what's exciting about the FBI. But that's also our challenge, is just to make sure everybody has a great picture of what they could do at the FBI and could they imagine themselves there.
Yeah. So I was going to ask about your talent challenges. And it's interesting because we had Lockheed Martin on the podcast last week, actually. And there are challenges that everyone needs to have. Well, a lot of their workforce needs to have security clearance, which I imagine is the same case for the FBI. So do you get people in and then give them clearance, or do they already have clearance, or how does it work?
Yeah, sure. And that's also a great follow-up. I heard that interview, and very nice recruiter from Lockheed Martin was talking about that challenge. I was like, oh man, I totally relate to that problem. Yeah. Yes, everybody at the FBI has to have a top secret clearance to walk into the building and touch a computer. Wow. If you want to think of it that way. That means our summer interns, contractors, everybody who's going to work at the FBI. So we generally clear all of the people. We have some small number of task force officers that come from other agencies that work on joint task force that come with their own clearance from Department of Defense or CIA. But you know, really everybody else, when we make a job offer, we're making a contingency job offer saying, hey, we're offering you this job, but you have to pass a background investigation first before you can start. So in terms of our hiring challenge, that is literally our biggest challenge because we lose approximately a 2/3 of all candidates in the background investigation process.
Ouch. How long does it take?
It sort of depends. If you're an intern and you're young and boring in the nicest possible way because you have no complicated life experience, then we're talking maybe 3 to 4 months to do a background investigation. Yeah, if you're a more seasoned employee and you're coming in at like a mid-career level, so you have 10 or 15 years of work experience, maybe you've worked overseas, you know, maybe you have foreign relatives or those things that just make the background a little bit more complicated, then it could be upwards of a year.
Right. So the people that stick with it, they are the ones that really committed then to the FBI, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the awesome things about the FBI. You know, it's a challenge to get in. But people who want to work for us, they want to work for the FBI because our mission is so just amazing. You know, when the FBI director goes on TV and says, you know, the mission of the FBI is to protect the American people and uphold the Constitution, full stop. There's just no way around that. You either want to be a part of that or that is not interesting to you. So people come into the organization because they really are drawn to that mission of protecting the American people, you know, serving their country and serving their local communities. You know, really, the FBI does amazing work. It is hard to get in. The people that come and go through that process and, you know, commit to a job offer, you know, it is challenging. And we talk to them and we try to keep them engaged through that long process. But once they're in, our attrition rate is super low. It's about 4%. Overall in the organization, and among the special agent ranks, it's only 2%. And most of that attrition is they're hitting their mandatory retirement age for the special agent position. That's the only job that has a mandatory retirement age. And so even most of that 2%, they're leaving because they have to.
Gotcha. Okay. Because I would have thought, you know, some of the shows you watch, it looked like, well, people working in for the police or for the FBI, looks like their work-life balance may not be the best. It's almost like married to the job. Does that affect your retention sometimes?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, that is definitely another big challenge at the FBI. When the operational pace of investigations takes over, you know, sort of everybody is all in. Yeah. I would say that is definitely something that employees struggle with. It does not really have a big issue on our retention. I would say we don't see too many people leaving the FBI because, you know, the work-life balance is out of control. I just can't handle it. I would say, if I'm being honest, the bigger issue that we see is downstream where we have employees that get a little burned out. And so then they struggle internally a little bit. So, you know, we have a robust way to try to move employees to new vacancies. You know, we have a very good employee assistance program that we, you know, all employees can take, you know, can take advantage of. We have a lot of systems in place where we sort of watch out for burnout among the employees. But, you know, it's a fair question. You know, what can we give to the organization versus what are we giving back home to our families?
Yeah. Okay, great. So talk to us about your employer brand strategy. And also, I know you've done some work around diversity and inclusion. So please tell us about that.
Yep. So, I mean, I think our big employer brand strategy is to really just, as we sort of talked before, to increase a more accurate perception of the FBI in the public eye, both what other jobs do we have available, but then also, you know, we are definitely working to try to increase the diversity of the special agent pool. If, you know, if the FBI special agent population does not look like the American people, that represents operational risk. That's cases we struggle to open. That's victims that we need help empathizing with. That's just, you know, communities that, you know, are harder to go into and, you know, help them and help local law enforcement. So we really want to make sure that that special agent population mirrors the American people. And that is definitely our biggest challenge. So we have a lot of our, you know, marketing and a lot of our extra communication right now is really trying to drive home that idea that the FBI could look like you. It's that failure of imagination, I think, on a lot of people's part to see themselves in the special agent role. So a lot of our communication is focused on, hey, the FBI needs the most excellent people who are in fit shape, super smart, whatever background you bring to the table, you could have a role as a special agent. And if you can't have a role as a special agent, I have 699 other jobs here for you where you could possibly be successful. So we're definitely, you know, increasing the perception of the FBI, an accurate perception there, working on the diversity of the special agent population. The biggest other issue is just the sheer volume of applications that we need to get somebody in is staggering. So a lot of our strategy is designed to try to attract as many people as possible to that special agent position. So on average, I'm hiring 1,000 special agents per year. That means I need somewhere around 16,000 people to hit the apply button just for that special agent position, because I'm going to lose so many in the testing, the physical fitness, and then we have the background investigation. And then I think that, again, we're always looking to improve the candidate experience because it does take so long. So a lot of our strategy is designed to say, hey, I know it's long. I know it's hard to get in. It's a super competitive atmosphere and a high bar. But once you get in, this is a career that's amazing.
Gotcha. And do you have a defined EVP or a people promise?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think our typical, you know, people promise is that the FBI is going to stay ahead of all American threats through our leadership, agility, and integration. You know, we try to be an agile organization, both within as we evolve, but also in responding to emerging threats. We are tackling leadership issues in the country and in the law enforcement arena, but also we're trying to, you know, develop and build amazing leaders here. And integration really goes to the fact that we're both a law enforcement agency, and so we have to work with other U.S. law enforcement agencies like the DEA or ATF or the U.S. Marshals, but then also we're an intelligence organization. So we have a whole side that works with our intelligence community peers, CIA, NSA, and so there's a lot of integration there. But then also to that diversity message, we're trying to bring a large group of diverse people in and trying to integrate them into that FBI mission and make sure that their values are our values and that we're really representative of everything that they're trying to accomplish once they get in the organization and as they move up the chain.
Gotcha. And give us some examples of how you communicate and activate the employer brand.
Sure. So we have a pretty integrated media strategy that we use. We coordinate a lot with, I have recruiters all around the country in our 56 field offices, and I have some that work here with me. All field offices also have a community outreach program that works with local communities in their area, and then also a public affairs officer. And so we try to work collaboratively as a team within each field office's area, and then here in the headquarters, you know, Washington, D.C. area, to promote our core, you know, our FBI core values, you know, respect, dignity, diversity, accountability. We also talk about you know, what does it take to be an amazing FBI? So in our integrated media strategy, we talk about being inquisitive, being willingness to, you know, push forward and tackle those hard challenges. You have to have a strong moral compass to come in. You have to be willing to work hard. So right now we have three marketing campaigns going on. Our standard campaign is a career like no other. Again, trying to tackle this idea that there are things that you do in the FBI that you literally cannot do other places. And that is what's going to draw the best and brightest to us, is that super challenge of the mission that we have. So that's our career like no other campaign. We have the one that is our hashtag unexpected agent, which is an awesome new campaign we're running right now. That's focused on this idea that, you know, again, based on what people think in Hollywood, you know, the agent is always like an ex, you know, military, you know, sniper with a tragic past or something like that. But the reality is a lot of the agents I know come from maybe non-traditional backgrounds. I know a great agent who is a middle school algebra teacher. She is actually great with white collar crime, insurance fraud investigation. She's very compassionate in dealing with victims because she has great empathy and interpersonal skills. So we are trying to make this connection between people and the skill sets they have right now and how those skill sets as a accountant or a lawyer or a counselor or an academic, a linguist, how those skill sets might transfer over to the special agent position. So that's our unexpected agent campaign. And then we have a third campaign going on right now, which is our women campaign. Again, we're always trying to recruit more women into the special agent position. And so we've done a lot of marketing studies to try to figure out you know, how do they respond to ads? You know, what kind of call to action works best from them? Is it make a difference? Is it take charge? Is it, you know, be strong, be fierce, help protect and guard your community? So we're working on that as well.
Wow. Okay. Right. So there's lots going on there. And I'm just thinking about this unexpected agent. So professionals who are sort of mid-career, if you do convince them that the FBI might be for them, are you able to offer the same sort of level of compensation to someone who might be an accountant somewhere, probably making good money?
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely one of our biggest challenges is, you know, because we're a federal government agency, we have all these federal government rules that we have to, you know, follow, mm-hmm. which is fair. But, you know, our ability to compensate employees, we can be more creative in things like, we can offer a signing bonus or we can offer a retention bonus. Our salaries are basically set. They're public knowledge. So depending on where you're going to live around the country, your salary is going to be what it's going to be. But I think the promise that we make to employees, to applicants when they come in is, look, you're going to be doing amazing work. It's work that you can't do anywhere else. If you stick with it and you get out of your probationary role as a special agent in your first couple of years, you know, once you've been on the job 5 or 6 years, you can actually be making very, very good money. If you're a hedge fund manager, a senior accountant, or a, you know, a lawyer that's making, you know, six figures, you know, we definitely just can't compete with the money there. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of our onboard employees who are at other roles, you know, when we talk internally, they're, you know, that's one of their biggest concerns. Like, hey, do we struggle to find people because we can't compete on money? But the reality is, if you're into a job for the six-figure salary, you're probably not drawn to the FBI in the first place, right? We draw people based on the mission and who wants to serve. And for them, you know, they make the financial decision that they can make, but generally, it's not salary that's holding people back from entering the bureau. Every once in a while, occasionally, but I would say not that often. For the special agent position, it's like, can they pass the physical fitness test? Can they pass the, you know, rigorous testing exams? Can they pass the background investigation with the polygraph? Those kinds of things like that.
Yeah. So it's more of a higher calling, not really about the money. Great. All right. So if we look at all these activities you've got going on, campaigns and local recruiting centers and so on, what is your best source of hire if you look at channels like job boards or social media, referrals, et cetera?
Sure. Yep. Our absolute best source of hire, though it's a small amount, are employee referrals. Mm. If we look at when people, you know, come in and hit apply and they say, hey, how did you hear about us? The highest percentage of people that, you know, come from employee referrals get out the back end and actually make it through the background investigation, which typically I think means that our existing employees who already have a clearance, they know who they not to bother referring. You know what I'm saying? They already know what the standards are. They're not referring people that they think are going to even have a hard time. So that's a smaller number, but that's, you know, that's our definitely our best percentage push through. After that, it's definitely job boards like Indeed, you know, places like that. We do a lot of integrated social media across Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook to drive traffic to our primary intake vehicle, which is FBI Jobs. So that's a huge driver of traffic to the website and ultimately to the application. We do some paid media like Google AdWords and some programmatic. This year, one new thing we're going to start doing are more video ads online, like YouTube ads. So that's a new thing that we're super excited about trying. And then we do use email blasts where people have signed up proactively through services like Monster or Clearance Jobs or DICE, which is a organization that sponsors STEM and computer science careers. So those are people who've said, hey, send me jobs that meet these parameters. And so we use those services to email blast out job announcements to those folks. So that's sort of our pretty typical reference source. Definitely employer referrals, after that sort of job boards, and then I would say social are our biggest drivers.
Yeah, great. And throughout this journey of attracting people into to the Bureau, what hard lessons can you share with our listeners?
Yeah, I thought a lot about, you know, what I want people to understand about the FBI and, you know, what is hard. You know, the FBI can accomplish amazing things, but what is hard for the FBI to accomplish? And I think, you know, the FBI is 37,000 people. They're here. They're very committed to the organization. But as any organization evolves and has to make changes, sometimes it's hard to get everybody along for the ride. And it's not that people aren't committed to where the FBI is going, but literally turning a bureaucratic bus of 37,000 people around to say, hey, our new message is this, or this is what I want you to understand about the organization, how it's evolving. That's just a big communications challenge. So I would say, you know, it's very easy for folks in a central place like our central recruiting office to say, hey, here's how we're doing and here's what we're doing. But I think that a lot of times we do not adequately communicate that out to the rest of the organization. Those 37,000 people are definitely our best, you know, everyday recruiters. So we need to really make sure that they're not only on board with what we're trying to do, but, you know, as they talk about the Bureau, as they talk about their own experience, and they talk about the amazing organization it is, when somebody says, hey, how do you, what should I do next? Then they fall apart and they don't know what to, they don't actually know what to tell them. So just getting them there to do that. And then, you know, there's sort of been a culture shift for us, I would say the last 4 or 5 years. It is definitely, as the U.S. economy has improved, there is definitely a little harder for us to get applicants. The job market's very tight. I think a lot of our recruiters in years past, because so many people wanted to come into the FBI, they were basically chatting with people about the organization. They weren't trying to actually recruit, if you follow me. So I think for us to get our recruiters over to this idea about you have to woo people. And, you know, there are definitely still some senior executives in the organization who are struggling with that, where they might think, why would I have to woo people? If they don't want to come to the FBI, then I don't want them. I was like, no, we do want them. You know, sometimes you have to make, as you would say, that employee value proposition a little more clear. You have to somehow connect the dots for them. So, you know, bring our recruiters along on that journey. I think that's, you know, we're definitely making progress, but that's been a big challenge the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's lots of choice out there for good candidates. So, yeah, keep at it. Right. And if we're looking at technology, what's your e-employer brand tech stack?
Yep. So, I mean, a couple of years ago, so most government agencies use a website called USA Jobs, which is a federal government employee clearinghouse. Several years ago, we actually decided that we were going to take ourselves off of that and create our own in-house platform at FBI Jobs. We felt that that would give us a better control over the look and feel and the applicant experience. So right now we have everybody on our own in-house website. It's underneath. It's a PeopleSoft is our human capital, you know, management system that we use right now. We do use as a social listening tool, we use It used to be Simply Measured. I think they just got bought out by Sprout Social. So we use that to watch our positive sentiment index. So that's what we use. And then, you know, of course, we do use some analytics, you know, from Google Analytics and things like that. But I would say that's overall, that's kind of our biggest, you know, tech bang right now.
Yeah, great. Okay, so lots of employer brand managers listening to this episode. What would be your top three tips to them?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely, we need to remember that it's our responsibility to push out our brand, not just external to the organization, but internal to the organization, all of our onboard employees, to make sure that, again, they're aligned and aware with what we're trying to do so that they can take advantage of those spontaneous recruiting opportunities that they may run into. So I think it's really important to not forget your internal folks. And again, make sure that they, knowledgeably understand, what to get people to do when they are ready to apply. At the FBI, I don't really have trouble keeping people aware of the FBI, but because of that, long background process, just making sure that people stay engaged with your employee brand and talk about it as it relates to what's happening in the world around them. You know, that sometimes can be a tricky thing. You know, sometimes the news is not great. I think all organizations have had, negative news cycles, but you can't just ignore it. You have to sort of figure out what's your internal strategy going to be with your internal comms team, or for example, our public affairs office, to how are we going to address what's happening in the world around it, how that relates to the FBI, and what the implications are for our organization. At least have a plan for that. And then the last thing I would say is you can't assume that what you are doing right now, as good as it is the, ne plus ultra of what you may want to do. You have to be always willing to see, how do you think your brand is changing in the public mindset? How do you want to respond to that? Do you want to drive your brand somewhere else? And just make sure that you're always being super honest with yourself about what's actually happening with your employer brand. You can't keep your head in the sand. You have to just acknowledge what's actually happening and address it.
Great. Okay. Final question. Where can our listeners learn more about the employer brand of the FBI? And can they connect with yourself anywhere on social media?
Yep, sure. So I would say for the FBI overall, our biggest place to go, obviously, is fbijobs.gov. That's where you'll find out everything about our organization in terms of our hiring. The overall organization has a lot more at fbi.gov. That's more of our public presence as a public agency, so you can find out much there. Of course, we are on Twitter at FBI, at FBI Jobs. You can find us on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and we have our own dedicated YouTube channel. There are a lot of great videos there talking about the work that the FBI does. Of course, you can find out about jobs there. For me, I'm on LinkedIn as Peter Searcy. I think I'm the only Searcy on LinkedIn. So you can definitely see me there and connect with me if you want.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today, Peter.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay, there you have it, folks. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast at employerbrandingpodcast.com and other fine purveyors of podcasting audio. And of course, if you're wondering what we do here at Link Humans, I can tell you that we help companies understand, define, and measure employer brands. So we're an employer brand agency, and you don't have to be a federal agency to engage with us. We'd love to hear from you. So if you're in the market for any of our services, feel free to get in touch with me direct, jorgen@linkhumans.com, or head on over to linkhumans.com. Okay, that is it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and look forward to catching up next time. Hey-do!
This has been my favorite joke since I was 10, is what goes ho-ho thump?
No idea.
Santa Claus laughing his head off. This is my mother's favorite joke, but my mother can never tell this joke because she's laughing so hard because she thinks it's so funny, she can't even tell the joke correctly. So every time she tries to tell the joke, she says, what goes ha-ha thump? And I'm like, nothing goes ha-ha thump because Santa Claus doesn't say ha-ha. So she can't tell the joke correctly because it's her favorite joke because she's laughing too hard to tell the joke correctly. And this has been a 30-year problem.